प्रभु जी, आई वुड लाइक टू हैंड ओवर दिस कॉल टू राज प्रभु जी फॉर गिविंग अ ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन टू प्रभु जी. थैंक यू प्रभु जी.
थैंक यू
हरे
माता
कृष्ण
जी,
प्रभु.
थैंक यू माता जी, हरे
थैंक
कृष्णा,
यू.
थैंक
हरे
यू.
कृष्ण.
हियर्स अ ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन फ्रॉम अमरेंद्र प्रभु. ही डोंट लाइक इंट्रोडक्शंस, बट वी हैव टू डू एज अ ग्रेटिट्यूड. अमरेंद्र प्रभु जी इज अ दीक्षा डिसाइपल ऑफ हिज होलीनेस राधा गोविंद दास गोस्वामी महाराज, हु इज अ सीनियर डिसाइपल ऑफ श्रीला प्रभुपाद, वेरी वेल नोन फॉर हिज क्लासेस ऑन श्रीमद भागवतम. एज अ डिसाइपल, अमरेंद्र प्रभु एस्पायर्स टू प्रैक्टिस एंड प्रीच द मैसेज ऑफ द स्क्रिप्चर्स फार एंड वाइड एज मच एज पॉसिबल. And in his endeavor, has traveled to many cities around the world, spreading Krishna consciousness in the universities, temple congregations, and social platforms like YouTube, WhatsApp, and Facebook. As part of his student preaching endeavors, he also has been part of many student conferences and has contributed in areas such as interfaith harmony and science and spiritual synthesis. Academically, Amrinder Prabhu is a master in electrical engineering from University of Massachusetts, and spiritually holds a Bhakti Shastri degree from Mayapur. With a sincere heart, he expressed his heartfelt gratitude to His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami for being a very strong pillar in his life, motivating and guiding him as a well-wisher to his family for selflessly sacrificing their personal interests for making him a devotee of the Lord, and to all the devotees worldwide who have lovingly nourished and nurtured him with their priceless care, intense prayers, and sincere blessings. Thank you so much, Prabhu. We also pay gratitude to your Guru Maharaj and to Srila Prabhupada for giving us such a gem like you. Thank you, Prabhu. On to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Please accept my humble obeisance, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for coming to us, giving your valuable time and association for giving Krishna Katha today. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please hand over to Prabhu. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Is my voice audible, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे It is my honor and privilege to be here amidst all the wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis today on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Krishna Janmashtami. Krishna is the heartbeat of Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani is the worshipable deity along with Shyam Sundar for all Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas and all followers of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So therefore Krishna is the life of our life. And it is certainly a very great, auspicious, joyous and even prosperous occasion in Vrindavan and everywhere else for the whole world that Sri Krishna Yashoda Nandan, Shyam Sundar, Radharaman has appeared on this most auspicious occasion day in the land of Braja. So to all the wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who have assembled on the day of Janmashtami to bless me with their auspicious presence so that the right words come at the right time in the right spirit of glorification, to all of you individually and collectively I offer my obeisances. Vancha kalpatarupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Tava vikriditam krishna nrinam paramamangalam karana piyusham asadhya tyajanti anyas praham janaha. The Bhagavatam 11th canto describes that tava vikriditam krishna, O Krishna, your pastimes. Vikriditam means pastimes. Tava, it's an address to Krishna. O Krishna, your pastimes. Tava vikriditam Krishna, Nrinam, for living beings, Paramamangalam. It is most auspicious. Just to sit and hear Krishna's pastimes is most auspicious for all living beings. Why? Karana Piyusham Asadhya. If that nectar, Piyusha means nectar, Karana means ears. If that nectar of Krishna Katha enters the ear hole of the listener, then Tyajanti Anya Spriham Janaha. All material desires are flushed out in no time. So what keeps us trapped in this world? Our material desires and material hankerings. And we find it very difficult to overcome them. But the trick has been given, the technique has been given, the shortcut solution has been given in the Bhagavatam. Tava vikriditam Krishna nrinam paramamangalam karana piyushama sadhya tyajantanya spriham jana. This verse has been displayed here. Thank you, Mataji. Tava vikriditam Krishna. If Krishna, your pastimes are heard, karana, through the ear, they are nectarian, piyusha, and parama mangala. Mangala means auspicious. So money can also bring some auspiciousness in this world. Food can bring in some auspiciousness. Family relatives and friends can bring in some auspiciousness. But nobody can bring parama mangala, the supreme auspiciousness of taking us back home, back to Godhead with a purified heart, with completely effulgent, vibrant love for Krishna. Effulgent in the heart. This only Krishna Katha will do, and Krishna Naam will do. The names of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna. So to chant them, to sing them, to read them, to hear them, to think about them, this is supremely beneficial for everyone. So Karana Piyushama Sadhya, if this nectar is tasted and drunk through the ear holes, Tyajanti, plural has been used, Bahuvachan, which means everybody. People in plural usage, and also the material desires in the heart of every living entity, which is also not singular, it's plural, it's multiple. So multiple desires of multiple, millions and millions of living beings, it's all given up. Tyajanti means to voluntarily give up. People will voluntarily give up all their material hankerings because they are tasting the Krishna Katha descriptions through their ear. So with this as the introduction and this as the inspiration for our discussion today, let us hear something about Krishna. But I would like to screen share and show a very nice verse. This is actually from the ISKCON Desiretry website, and this is Srila Rupa Goswami's composition on Namashtakam. Namashtakam is actually 8 verses glorifying the names of Krishna. So the 5th verse there is certainly very beautiful. All of them are beautiful, but we will discuss the 5th verse today. So, of course, we will not have the screen share on for a long time. So my request is, we can kindly take a screenshot or write this verse down, or you can click a picture, because we're going to use this verse and every word of this verse in our discussion today. So we'll quickly sing it. Aghadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasuno Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendraha Pranata Karuna Krishna Ityaneka Swarupe Twai Mamarati Ruchaihi Varidhatam Namadheya. I'll sing it 2 more times. We all can feel free to chant as loudly as possible. We are all on mute, so we don't have to worry about any interference on the call. But at the same time, we can sing as loudly as possible so that everyone in our house knows that we are singing Srila Rupa Goswami's Namashtakam to welcome Krishna on the day of his appearance. Aghadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasuno Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendraha Pranata Karuna Krishna Ityaneka Swarupe Twai Mamarati Ruchair Varadhatam Namadheya. One last time. Aghadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasuno Kamala Nayana Gopi चंद्र वृंदावनेन्द्रः प्रणत करुण कृष्ण इत्यनेक स्वरूपे त्वयि मम रतिरुचैर्वर्धतां नामधेय. सो आई होप एवरीवन हैज टेकन नोट ऑफ दिस वर्स. आई विल क्विकली लाइक टू गिव एन ओवरव्यू ऑफ द जनरल ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ दिस वर्स एंड देन वी विल डाइव very deep into the ocean of nectar that Srila Rupa Goswami has given through this one verse. So everyone who is feeling low in spiritual morale and feeling very dejected and disappointed with all our past sinful activities and mistakes and drawbacks and shortcomings and all the things that we have struggled and suffered with, there ends all our suffering. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Ki Jai. Shri Krishna is appearing and we welcome him by chanting these names. There are 8 names of Krishna described here in this verse. And of course, we will dive deep and to the best of our ability, whatever Krishna is kind enough to reveal to us and inspire us, we will try to share. But the general translation, the first name, Aghadamana. Aghadamana means the killer of Aghasur. Damana means to subdue and kill, and Agha means Aghasur. The second name is Yashoda Nandana. Now here Nandana is used because 2 names are put together. So in Sanskrit, when a male usage is used in the dual case, 2 names are used or 2 persons are used, then the end ends with au. Like Vande Rupa Sanatanau Raghu Yugau Shri Jiva Gopalakau, or Ajanulambita Bhujau Kanakavadhatau Sankirtanaika Pitarau Kamalayatakshau. So many such verses are there. When the dual usage is used in the masculine sense, then the ending will be au. So 2 words are used here, therefore it's au. But the root word is Yashoda Nandana. So first word is Aghadamana, the killer of Aghasur. The second word is Yashoda Nandana, which means the darling sweetheart, little child of Maya Yashoda. The third name for Krishna here is Nandasunu. And another important thing is, all these names, if you see, they have been describing Krishna in Vrindavan. So it's not like Mathuranath, Dwarkadish, Rukmini Pati, none of these names have been used. It's all keeping Krishna in Vrindavan. So the third name is Nandasunu. Sunu means son, and Nanda is Nanda Maharaj. So the son of Nanda Maharaj. So the first is killer of Aghasur, the second is son of Mother Yashoda, the third is son of Nanda Maharaj. Well, someone would say, well, the son of Yashoda and the son of Nanda is the same, then why call differently? Well, because the mother is the first guru, and Krishna lived in the womb of Mother Yashoda for as many months as he could. And during that time, Mother Yashoda's craving for makhan misri, butter and sugar, increased so much that she was only eating that for 9 months. And then she realized, oh, this craving is not mine. It's the butter thief who's sitting in my body. So if in the womb Krishna can steal makhan misri and start stealing sweet butter from the mouth of Mother Yashoda while living in her body, imagine what havoc he would create once he's out. So Mother Yashoda sheltered Krishna in her body, that Krishna who shelters the whole world. Vasudeva sutam devam kamsa chanura mardhanam devaki paramanandam krishnam vande jagadgurum. He who shelters the whole world as the spiritual master was sheltered by his mother in her body. So therefore she is given first priority and prominence. And then of course Krishna came out and was started to look at the person with the beard and mustache. Who is this person with a big turban? He always sits with his dhoti and hand on his lap and attends all the meetings. Who is this person? Then Maya Yashoda said, oh, actually this is your Baba. This is your father. This is Nanda Baba. So Krishna's first introduction in this world was with Maya Yashoda and then Nanda Baba. So therefore that same order has been maintained by Srila Rupa Goswami from Krishna's heart perspective. of attachment. He's first the son of Yashoda, Yashoda Nandan, and then Nanda Sunu, the son of Nanda Maharaja. That's the third name. Now the fourth name is Kamala Nayana. Kamala means lotus and Nayana means eyes. So he's the lotus-eyed lord. The fifth name is Gopi Chandra. Gopi Chandra. Gopi means gopis of Vrindavan. And very specifically, Gopi means Srimati Radharani here, because it's used in the singular sense. It's not used as Gopi Jana Chandra. As the Chandra, of course, means the moon. So the general translation is the moon of the gopis. But here, if you see, the word gopi is used in the singular tense, in the singular usage. So yes, it's correct to say the moon of the gopis. It's more accurate to say the moon of that specific gopi. The moon-like Krishna in the life of that specific gopi, who is Srimati Radharani. Then the next name used for Krishna is Vrindavanendraha, which means the Indra of Vrindavan. That's the sixth name. The seventh name is Pranata Karuna. Pranata means devotees, surrendered devotees, and Karuna means mercy. So he who has inconceivable, unparalleled, unlimited mercy unto those who are surrendered devotees to his lotus feet. And the eighth word used is Krishna. Krishna is Krishna. And actually this is we out of the rules of Sanskrit grammar. It should be you, just like Nanda, Yashoda Nanda now. So similarly, two words have been used here. Pranata Karuna, and you can see that there's a hyphen between the two. So that means they're connected. So Pranata Karuna and Krishnau. But however, due to the rules of Sanskrit grammar, it becomes Krishnav. The you becomes the we. Isn't that also the principle in life? Instead of saying you, it's all about we. So the you becomes we. Iti. Thus, aneka swarupe. O Krishna, not just these eight forms, you have many forms. Hari nama tuva aneka swarupe. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a song based on this verse of Rupa Goswami that in another setting we happened to sing yesterday. So what is the prayer? Krishna is saying, yes, Rupa Goswami, you call me by these eight names and you said there are many more names like this. So you are calling me. What's the prayer in your heart? So Rupa Goswami says, O Krishna, Twai. Twai in Sanskrit means unto you. Mama ratihi, my attachment. Uchaihi vardhatam. Vardhatam means increase. Uchaihi means upward. Uchaihi could mean loud also with respect to the volume. Or uchaihi could mean upwards as far as direction is concerned. So Twai, O Krishna, unto you, mama ratihi uchaihi vardhatam. May my affection, attachment, absorption, all of these things, everything with the A, my attachment, my absorption, my attention, my attraction, may all of them increase day by day by day by day. Oh, beautiful monsoon cloud like Krishna, may my attachment for you touch the monsoon clouds. Namadheya means, oh, holy name. Oh, holy name of Krishna, or holy names of Krishna, my prayer is, may my attachment for you rise day by day by day. So that is actually the prayer. So I will take it off the screen share, but I hope that everyone's taken note of this verse and probably even written it down, so that we will be mentioning about these different names. And we will discuss, so we should know the context of what we are discussing in this verse. This verse of Srila Rupa Goswami as part of the Namashtakam is so significant in our life, because we all struggle with the chanting of the holy names. Our japa is quite, at least for me, I would say it's quite a struggle. Every morning chanting the holy name is it's an ongoing struggle. But here Srila Rupa Goswami, through the Namashtakam, has given such a powerful, wonderful meditation where he has, through eight verses, prayed to the holy name for increased taste. And especially in this verse, what can be better than calling out to different names of Krishna? And then saying that, my Lord, the only prayer that I offer on the day of Janmashtami to you is that may my attachment for you increase as much as it can. There is absolutely no taste in the chanting of the holy name that I experience in my life. But I sincerely desire if I can have more taste. So this is the prayer of Srila Rupa Goswami in this verse. So let's see what are some meditations that we can have through these names. First of all, it's important as to why Krishna has these names and why he performs all these pastimes through which he gets these names. Like, for example, he killed Agasur, so he's called Agadamana. He appeared to Nanda and Yashoda, therefore he is Yashoda Nandana and Nanda Sunu. He has a very beautiful form with lotus-like eyes, therefore he is Kamala Nayana. And the devotees serve him, and among all the devotees, the gopis are the highest. So he's considered to be the moon, Gopi Chandra, amidst the gopis. And he lives in Vrindavan, so he's Vrindavan Indra. And he gives shelter to the surrendered souls, Pranata Karuna. And he's the all-attractive Krishna. So therefore his name is Krishna. So the question could be, why does Krishna perform all these pastimes? And the answer to that is given in the Shastra as Mad Bhakta Vinodartham Karomi Vividakriya. Krishna has said that Karomi Vividakriya, I perform different pastimes and activities. For what? Mad Bhakta Vinodartham. Only for the entertainment of my devotees. Vinoda, the word Vinoda means entertainment, to please, to cut a joke and impress and try to please. This is all included in the word Vinoda. So someone who enjoys the process of devotion and relishes the process of devotion is called Bhakti Vinoda Thakur. So Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Vinodartham, for the purpose of the entertainment and pleasure, giving pleasure to my devotees, Karomi Vivida Kriya, I perform different activities. And on the basis of those activities, Krishna gets his wonderful names. Like, for example, he's present everywhere. Sarvavyapi, therefore he's called Vishnu. He's called Narayana. Why is he called Narayana? He's called Narayana because he, Nara means human being, and Nara means the plural usage of human beings. Nara Samuha. And Ayana means to take shelter. So he who gives shelter to everyone, used in the plural sense, everyone included, he who is ready to give shelter to everybody is Narayana. So in this way, depending on his quality, his form, his activities, his abode, his paraphernalia, his associates, he has so many beautiful names. So Mad Bhakta Vinodartham Karomi Vivida Kriya. This is very important words to know. Krishna is saying that only to give pleasure to my devotees, I perform so many different pastimes and I get my names accordingly. So we will start off with these names and the discussion of these names. We have to first understand that of all Krishna's names, Krishna has Aishwaryamai names and Madhuryamai names. Very important categorization. Aishwaryamai names means those names which describe his opulence. That how he is the Virat Purusha, how he has the Vishwarup. He is the Anantakoti Brahmandanayaka. He is the Lord of millions and millions of universes put together. Or how he is the Lord of all the demigods put together. Sureshwaraha, Sarveshwareshwaraha. This is all Aishwaryamai Upasana Yuktanam. The names which are filled with awe and reverence and glorification of his opulence. But he also has Madhuryamai Naams or names. Madhuryamai Naam means those names which describe his sweet aspect in connection to his devotees. Like, for example, Krishna's connection with his friend as Subal Sakha. Very wonderful name. It's a Madhuryamai Naam. Not in Madhur Rasa or Madhur Rati, but it's the name in sweetness in connection to his best friend Subal. Also the name Yashoda Nandana, Radha Madhava, Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Girivaradhari, Yashoda Nandana, Vrajajana Ranjana, Yamuna Tiravanachari. All of them are Madhuryamai Nama. the names, or namani, plural usage, of all the names in sweetness, with a lot of rasa in them, like Radharamana, Radha Damodar, all these names of Thakurji in Vrindavan, it's all beautiful, madhuryamay naam, the names in sweet mood of intimacy, in connection with the pure Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. So these names that are described by Srila Rupa Goswami, they're all in connection with the Vrajvasis. Because Srila Rupa Goswami is a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, so naturally he will not call Krishna as Paramatma or he who's present in every atom, etc. He will call Krishna by the names in connection to the residence of Vrindavan. So the first name is Aghadamana. Now, point to be noted is each of these names can be seen by different devotees with different meanings. So we will try to present a few meanings to the word Aghadamana, a very wonderful name of Krishna. And of course, for the rest, we will just give one as a hint, because we will not be able to dwell into all the meanings of all the names of this one verse in the time limit that we have today. So we'll start off with the first name, which is Aghadamana. We can see this name in four ways. From the perspective of Dasiras or Dasirati, Sakhirati, Vatsalirati, and Madhurirati. We can see this name Aghadamana, the killer of Aghasur, or the killer of Agha, or the subduer of Agha. We can see this in four ways. From the mood of a servant to the master Krishna, or in the mood of a friend to Krishna, in the mood of the son of Nanda Maharaj, in parental mood, Vatsalya Prem, or as the Lord of Srimati Radharani. This name has the nectar for all the rasas. We will see how. And this is why Srila Rupa Goswami starts off with this name. So for those in tasting Dasiras in Dasirati, in the mood of servitude as a servant, how will they see this name? They will not see this name as that Lord who for his friends destroyed Aghasur. For their conception, the word Agha means sin. The word Agha means sin. And Damana means to destroy. So the word Aghasur can mean, for someone as a servant of Krishna, it can mean that Lord who is very kind enough to destroy the sins and take away the sinful reactions of his servants. Because the word Agha, meaning Aghasur, is for those in Sakhya mood of friendship, because this was a friendly pastime. But the servants see the word Agha meaning sin. There's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam. Kechit kevala ya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dhunvanti karsneya niharam iva bhaskara. That all the sins get destroyed by little performance of bhakti. Just like all the fog collected overnight, all the collection in the clouds in the form of fog is all finished, completely dispelled by just the rays of the sun, in the dawn sun, not even the noon sun. It's just the rising of the sun. And the early dawn light coming from the sun is sufficient enough to destroy all the fog which has been collected hours and hours at night. So similarly, by the dark night of our avidya, ignorance, the fog of our sins and sinful reactions collected, only the dawn of the rising sun of bhakti to Krishna can destroy everything. This is the mood in which a servant of Krishna tastes this name, that Aghadamana. Oh Krishna, you are so kind. Agha meaning sins and sinful reactions. You are ready to destroy and dispel and dissipate and finish, rip apart and subdue all those sinful reactions in my life just by the touch of your holy name. In the Shastra, in the Puranas, it has been described, Narayano nama naro naranam prasiddha chaura kathita prithivyam aneka janmarjita papa sancharam haratyashesham shruti matrameva. So it means that the name of the Supreme Lord is such a great thief. Narayano nama naro naranam prasiddha chaura kathita prithivyam on Mother Earth, the greatest sin, the greatest thief ever recorded is the name of the Lord. The greatest thief ever recorded in the history of mankind on Mother Earth is the name of the Supreme Lord. Why? Aneka janmarjita papa sancharam haratya shesham shruti matrameva. The sins that we have collected over lifetimes, the name of the Supreme Lord steals all that away just by hearing, not even by chanting, shruti matrameva, just by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Lord, all the sins that we have collected gets stolen away. Who can be so kind? And it's not even that you have to call out to him in a helpless mood, in a desperate, surrendered mood for him to take all the sins away. Damshtri damshtra hatom lecho haram iti puna punaha uktvapi muktim apnoti kim punaha shraddhaya grunhan. Namacharya Haridas Thakur quotes this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita to mention that if someone even accidentally calls out to someone else and that name happens to be the name of the Lord, and the example to that is Ajamil calling out to his son, but the name happened to be Narayan and the name of the Supreme Lord. All the sins are destroyed just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, even if it's not with the intention of calling him. It's for hinting something or referring to something or someone else. Still, the holy name can take away all our sins. So how kind is the Supreme Lord? This is how a servant will taste this name. Agha Damana. O Krishna, Damana means to subdue and Agha means sins. You are so kind through your Naam Avatar, through the incarnation of your holy name, to take away all my sins and all my sinful reactions. How kind of you. This is how the servant will taste. But how will a friend of Krishna taste this name? He's not going to taste this name as, oh Krishna, by chanting your names, all my sinful reactions are taken away. That's not how the friend of Krishna will approach this name. For the friend of Krishna, what does this name signify? The word Agha now signifies Aghasur. And the friend of Krishna remembers how Krishna was so kind enough to enter the mouth of a serpent to pull all his friends out. So that's how they taste, through the name or the pastime Aghasur, in the subduing or the killing of Aghasur or the liberation of Aghasur in the 12th chapter of the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. So the friends remember how they reached that place. Aham purvam iti samsprishyare mire. There is a very nice verse in the same section where it says how the friends of Krishna competed with each other. They had a competition with each other as to Krishna running first and they all chasing, and the competition was who's going to touch Krishna first, who's going to catch hold of Krishna's dhoti and Krishna's garland, run behind Krishna and be fast enough to catch him. So they would say, aham purvam, no, it's going to be first. I am going to be the first person. I am going to be the first person to catch Krishna. Iti samsprishya remire. About catching Krishna, it's not an egotistic battle that it's going to be me who's going to be first. It's interesting, the term aham purvam has come even in the 8th canto and has come in the 10th canto, but two opposite contexts. In the 8th canto, the context is about who's going to drink the nectar first. And the demons are saying, aham purvam, I will drink the nectar first. After the churning of the milk ocean. Who's going to approach Mohini Murti first? Aham purvam, I will be the first, not you, but me. But here, that same phrase has come in the pastimes of Krishna as aham purvam, I will touch Krishna first, I will touch Krishna first. And it's not in an egoistic, self-aggrandizing mood that I will put myself first. No, they understand that every friend of Krishna understands that they feel some pain in their heart that, oh, my friend is so far away from Krishna. So Subal is feeling the pain that Madhumangal is far away from Krishna. Madhumangal is feeling the pain that Subal is far away from Krishna. So to help the other person and appease his heart and give solace to his heart, Madhumangal is saying, aham purvam, I will be the first person to run and touch Krishna so that your heart is comforted that I am not away from Krishna. So there also it is selfless love. So it's the same term, aham purvam. It's going to be me First me, not you, but me. But the moods are completely different. The demons, after the churning of the milk ocean, they want the nectar first for themselves so that they become immortal. But Krishna's friends, it's all about pleasing the others who are disappointed that, look, my friend is far away from Krishna. Instead of thinking that I am far away from Krishna, they're thinking this friend of mine is far away from Krishna. I hope he meets Krishna quickly. So then that friend says, Aham Purvam, I will be the first person to touch Krishna. And then this will comfort your heart. So they are thinking of all this, how they are running behind Krishna, climbing up trees, making sounds of frogs and jumping like frogs and dancing like peacocks. Try to run behind the shadow of the flying birds and making sounds of the cuckoo bird, trying to flap their wings like different birds and laugh at jokes. Krishna would sometimes even shout some inauspicious swear words into a well. And when the echo comes out, Krishna would tell Balaram, look what the well is telling me. You know, this is what the well has to say about me. Balaram says, it doesn't happen like this. Clap sound is taking place only when both palms meet. One palm cannot clap. Well, you can in some ways, but not the actual clap. So Balaram is saying, you may have said the well something. That's why it's echoing back. And then Krishna drops his head in embarrassment that he's been caught. So beautiful, wonderful, friendly pastimes come to the heart of a friend of Krishna when he says Aghadamana. That, oh Krishna, the subduer of Aghasur. So immediately the meditation, the painting in the heart canvas changes. Completely different. And they're remembering how Aghasur was approached by all of them. They saw a very nice cave from a distance. It was actually the open mouth of Aghasur, the serpent demon who was sent by Kamsa Maharaj to Vrindavan to devour Krishna with all his friends. But from a distance, when they saw, oh, Krishna, this seems to be like a new cave that we haven't witnessed and we haven't entered in Vrindavan. Let's go. And another friend said, yes, yes, we should go, because it's not just a new cave. There's also a red carpet entry. There's a red carpet welcome for us. And that was the long tongue of Aghasur. Another friend said, and you know what? This is such a wonderful cave. I always wanted to be in a cave like this. So the friend said, why? Why do you want to be in a cave like this? He said, you know, we always have to carry our stuff with us, especially these bags with all the prasadam, the cloth bags that we carry with all our prasadam, the lunch prasadam. I always waited for a cave where you can actually hang them. And look, this is the dream come true. This cave has big nails on the wall, so you can actually hang your cloth bag and then you can enter and have fun. They were actually the canine teeth, the sharp teeth of Aghasur, ready to rip any meat possible. And there was also stink coming from the mouth of Aghasur because of undigested food that he had swallowed. So the friend said, there's some stink coming. The other friend said, come on, that's because nobody has gone into this cave. It's unused. So we should go inside and start playing. Some friend said, we can also slide in through that big welcoming tongue. Seems like a tongue, isn't it? It's a wonderful place. We should go. Then one wise friend said, he was almost like the old monkey in the story, you know, put his glasses down like that intelligent friend. He said, what if this is a demon? So then the other friend said, why do you worry? The killer of Putana is right behind us. Why do we have to worry? If something goes wrong, he will protect us. We have nothing to fear. He will help us. If he helped us through Putana, if he helped us through Trinavarta and Shakata, if he helped us through the falling of the two trees, and he helped himself come out safe during the Damodar Leela also, so what's the worry? He will protect us. We don't have to worry. And other friends said, yes, yes, we don't have to worry because his father worships Shaligram Shilas. Nanda Baba worships Shaligram Shilas. And the power of worshipping Shaligram Shilas is when the worshipper worships a Shaligram Shila, the Shaligram Shila helps his family when the family is in need of help. So Krishna is just fortunate that his father worships a Shaligram Shila. So when Krishna comes in trouble, The Shaligram Shila Narayana enters his body and uses his body as an instrument to kill all the demons, and then that Narayana leaves and enters the Shaligram Shila, and then Krishna takes all the credit, and they're all giggling and laughing, the friends. Krishna is the source. Ete chamsa kalapumsam krishnastu bhagavan swayam. But then the friends are thinking, forget about Bhagavan Swayam. He's not even Bhagavan. He's just ordinary. In fact, some said he's better than us. Some said, no, he's equal to us. Tumi kon bada lok, tumi ami sham. But some said, no, we are better than you. Because your father has only 900,000 cows. My father has 1,100,000 cows. So talking about the statistics, our position is better than you. Also, our position is better than you, Krishna. Because when we arm wrestle, most of the times, we win. We are on top of your chest on a count of 1, 2, 3, and then we win over you in arm wrestling. So they are finding different ways how Krishna is ordinary, but then he is also extraordinary because his father worships the Shaligram Shila. Narayan enters his body and uses it as a medium to help the whole of Vrindavan. Also, another friend said, one more thing I remember. When Krishna was only 100 days old, Gargacharya made the horoscope. And he said at that time, Anena sarva durgani yuyam anjastarishyataha, which means anyone who comes in contact with this boy. This boy is so powerful, Krishna, that sarva durgani tarishyati. He will cross over all problems. And not just him. Anyone who's connected with him, they will also cross over all problems. So the friends are saying different formidable reasons as to why they can go into the cave. One, it seems like a cave. Let's go. Two, what if it's a demon? Well, we have Krishna with us. Three, he's not God. We are better than him. But then he's just lucky because his father worships Shaligram Shila, and Vishnu uses his body as a medium to help everyone by entering and serving, by killing all the demons. Reason number four, Gargacharya's horoscope reading cannot go wrong. When Krishna was only 100 days old, he said, Anena sarva durgani yuyam anjastarishyataha, that all of you will very quickly and easily cross over all problems just by the power of his astrological chart. Krishna is the lord of all demigods, and demigods are the presiding deities for the planets, and the planets are the ones which dictate a horoscope. So Krishna, who is the lord of all lords, his horoscope is being read by Gargacharya. And Gargacharya says, anyone in connection with him will cross over all problems. Also another friend said, do you also remember? Gargacharya had said, Tasman Nandatma Joyamte Narayana Samogunaihi, that this son of yours, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, he almost equals Narayana, Shriya Kirtyanu Bhavena. As far as his opulence and as far as his fame and strength is concerned, he equals Narayana. So the friends are telling each other. So if he equals Narayana, then how can we as the friends of Narayana have any problems in this world? We can't have any problems in this world. We should just enter the cave and depend on him completely, because we are the friends of Narayana Samo Gunai, Gunavan Mahapurush, who almost equals Narayana in his qualities. Another friend said, Sa ekam mahabhaga pritim kurvanti manavaha. Also, the prediction made by Gargacharya is anyone, even if they are not in the family lineage of Krishna, if they just pritim, if they have affection for Krishna, then they will never be defeated. Such human beings will never be defeated. So, with all these reasons, the friends are thinking, well, we have everything. We are related to Krishna as friends. At the same time, we have a lot of affection for him. So we should not worry. Just like the demigods never get defeated, the lord of all demigods, that is Krishna, Narayana Samogunai, and his friends will never get defeated. So we have nothing to worry. We should just happily go into the cave, and if something happens, the friend and brother of Balaram and the killer of Putana is there to save us. So on the strength of Krishna's astrological reading prediction by Gargacharya, we have nothing to fear. Let's just run into the cave. And Krishna, as an innocent child, as the friend, he was very scared. Krishna saw the friends are entering you know, into the mouth of this cave, which has teeth and tongue, and they plan to go inside. And in Vrindavan, Krishna does not know that he is God. He is completely covered. His eyes are covered. His consciousness is covered by Yogamaya Shakti, the pleasure potency, the Leela Shakti, which lets him frolic freely in spontaneous mood. So Krishna felt very sad that why are his friends going into the mouth, which looks like a demon? Why even go there? Don't we have so many other places to play? Why even go in a place where there's some doubt? If you have some doubt, better to avoid. So Krishna spread his arms out and said, no entering. Nobody's going into the mouth of this cave, which looks like a demon. What if it's a demon? You are not going. So the friends, they started laughing and they started going under Krishna's arms. And Krishna was standing there helpless between his legs and between his arms. They all entered the mouth of Aghasura. Krishna's teaching us, Krishna has his desire and the devotees have their desire. And Krishna is ready to put his desire second and the desire of the devotees first. How beautiful. When all of them entered the mouth of Aghasura, Krishna as the child is out of anxiety is thinking, O Sridham, O Subal, will I ever see you again? Why did all of you go inside? Can you come out? Subal, please come. I am waiting. And Krishna's feeling very sad. Will I ever be able to play with my friends again? Will I even be able to see them? What if it's a demon who's just swallowed all my friends? What will I tell their parents? What will I tell Nanda Baba? And Yashoda Maya, with whom will I play? With whom will I eat? Krishna's having the anxiety in his swarup in Vrindavan. But at that time, Yoga Maya Shakti, the potency which covers Krishna, it uncovered him, took the covering away and told Krishna, don't worry, you are God. And Krishna was amazed. Imagine a 5-year-old kid who discovers that he is God overnight. And Krishna was so amazed. And in no time, Rasaraj Sri Krishna is tasting so many moods. First he tasted Karuna Ras, which means the mood of compassion. Oh, what is happening to them? Oh, where did they go? Why did they do this? And 1 minute later, Adbhut Ras, astonishment. Oh, I am God. Am I really God? Yes, I am God. Am I the Lord of all these astronomical bodies on the top, like the sun and the moon and the stars? Yes, I am. Am I the one from whom millions and millions of universes come? Yes, I am. So 1 minute ago, he was tasting the mood of compassion. And 1 minute later, he's tasting Adbhut Rasa, the mood of astonishment. And then 1 minute later, Veer Rasa, the desire of chivalrous bravery, that I want to fight this demon and get all my friends out. Then what did Krishna do? He went in and he was sliding down Aghasura's tongue. And in no time, he went inside. And Aghasura is thinking, well, that was easy. All the demons failed, but I succeeded. It was so simple. I didn't even fight. I just came and sat with my mouth wide open. The friends went inside. Krishna went inside. That's it. All that I have to do is close my mouth. Everyone failed, but I succeeded. This is what Aghasura was saying and thinking. And what did Krishna do? He went inside, expanded big, and choked Aghasura to death. So in English, you can also play with the words and you can say that Krishna made Aghasura choke on his own words. Right? Aghasura was proud of the fact that nobody succeeded, but I can succeed. Everyone failed. They all fought Krishna and still failed. Putana did so much. She changed her attire, whatnot, and I just came in my own form as a snake serpent, and I opened my mouth and just in rapt meditation, acting as if I'm a cave. And he just went inside. So he was feeling proud that everyone failed, but I succeeded. And Krishna made him choke on his own words of pride. What's the lesson that we can learn? Krishna is as sweet as candy, right? Sripad Vallabhacharya has written a whole Madhurashtakam about the sweetness of Krishna's bodily beauty. But how did Aghasura feel Krishna? Did he feel Krishna as sweet and tasty and nectarian and ambrosial? No, he was finding Krishna inside intolerable, hot and spicy and disgusting. He wanted to spit Krishna out. It was getting intolerable. Why? Because Aghasur represents Agha or Avidya, ignorance, darkness, contamination. So what's the lesson that we can learn? Krishna is so sweet, but Aghasur, because of his contamination, found Krishna to be hot, spicy, and intolerable. Just wanted to spit Krishna out as soon as possible. And don't we also have the same experience? Krishna's holy name, Paramam Amritam Ekam Jivanam Bhushanam Me. Srila Sanatan Goswami says there's no nectar like the holy name. Madhuram Madhuram Etan Mangalam Mangalanam Sakala Nigamavalli Satphalam Chitswarupam, the Shastra describes. Krishna's name, Madhuram Madhure Bhyopi Mangale Bhyopi Mangalam Pavanam Pavane Bhyopi Harer Namaiva Kevalam. Nilkantha Goswami Kevalashtakam. No Jani Janita Kiyabdir Amritair Krishna Iti Varnadvai, Rupa Goswami. Everybody has described how much nectar is there in these two syllables. But when we chant and we accept Krishna Naam on our tongue, Agasur-like tongue of avidya, we just feel like stopping the process of chanting. We feel it's boring, it's distracting, sleep-inducing. Why do I have to like keep chanting this? Instead of thinking that, may I have millions and millions of tongues to chant this name. I don't know how much nectar is there in these two syllables. Instead of thinking like that, we are disgusted at the thought, at least talking about myself in my situation at this point. You'll have to be honest. No point faking it. No taste in chanting. It's all about when will I finish my rounds and keep the bead aside. So that's the Agasur-like mentality. When the sweet holy name of Krishna comes on the tongue, who's very sweet, Madhuram Madhuram Vapurasya Vibho Bilba Mangal Thakur, but we find it like Agasur, choking on our own words. I don't want it. I wish I can stop chanting. The sweet vibrations of the holy name are not sweet for a conditioned soul. Rupa Goswami says, Pitto Pataptarasana. He says, it's like someone whose tongue is coated by the influence of jaundice-like disease. So they can't taste the sweet sugarcane juice. But their solution is to keep drinking that same sweet sugarcane juice, which they may feel as bitter, but in no time they will feel recovered and they will feel completely out of that illness. And now that same sweet sugarcane juice will actually taste sweet. So Krishna destroyed Aghasur and revived all his friends by his glance, got them alive, and they all came out of the cave singing and doing kirtan. So when servants of Krishna, they say Aghadamana, they don't think like this. They think, oh, that Lord who destroys all my sins. And when the friends say Aghadamana, they say, oh, that Lord, not that Lord, but they say that friend of mine who destroyed Aghasur and got us out of that cave. So Aghadamana for the friends is different from Aghadamana conception for the servants. But then this can also be Aghadamana in Vatsalya Prem. What does it mean in Vatsalya Prem? Well, Agha means a serpent. And we know that how Nanda Maharaj was devoured by a serpent and Krishna released Nanda Maharaj from the coil grip and the mouth grip of the serpent by destroying the serpent, by touching the serpent with his lotus feet. So when Nanda Baba and Maya Yashoda and those in the parental mood, they say Agha Damana, they're not going to say it like the Sakhas or like the servants, but they're going to say it was that son of Nanda Maharaj who for liberating his father from problem was ready to battle a snake and kick him hard and liberate him. Agha Damana. Agha means a serpent and Damana means to destroy. So he ripped the body of a serpent only to get his father out when Nanda Baba was caught by the snake. We can discuss that pastime sometime later, but it's enough and sufficient to just point the direction of thought. But at the same time, Srila Rupa Goswami is in Madhuri Rasa as Rupa Manjari, as a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. So how is he tasting this name? It's not as a servant, oh Lord, who saves us from all suffering, or not as a Sakha, that, oh, we went into the cave and you were so kind to come in and take us out. And not as, in parental mood, as that little sweet son of Nanda Baba who was ready to battle a snake to liberate his father and get him out. No. But in Madhuri Ras, in the Madhuri Rati conception, the same name, Agadamana, can have a very beautiful meaning. Very beautiful meaning. What is the meaning? One time Srimati Radharani was very angry with Krishna because some parrots of Brindadevi, they suggested that Krishna was found outside the kunj of Chandravali, who happens to be the rival of Radharani. But it was not true. Krishna was in there. But the parrots did see some reflection of Krishna in the neighboring pond next to Chandravali's kunja. And they suggested probably if the reflection is there, the person must also be there. But it was just their superimposition of their bhav. They were flying everywhere to find Krishna, and then it just erupted to such an extent that they did see the reflection of Krishna. So outside Chandravali's kunj, they did see Krishna's reflection, and they went and told Srimati Radhika, and Radharani felt very angry that how come Krishna can go to my arch rival. So when Krishna came, Radharani said, "I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you." Krishna said, "Why?" So Lalita Sakhi said, "Because you are guilty of going to the arch rival's camp." Krishna said, "No, I'm innocent and saintly. How do you want me to prove my innocence?" So Lalita Sakhi and Vishaka Sakhi, they whispered with each other and they said, "Ghata Sarpa Pariksha." Now, Ghata Sarpa Pariksha is a very lethal, very brutal, very ruthless, very harsh type of punishment. What does that mean? It's a punishment, or it's a test, let's put it like that. Pariksha means a test, not a punishment. That great kings in the past that's how they used to see if the person is speaking the truth. What is the pariksha? What is the test? They would keep a pot, and the pot used to be filled with one or sometimes even two very dangerous snakes. Ghata means pot, and sarpa means snake. And the condition was you have to put your hand into the pot and keep there for 10 seconds. And if you're able to remove your hand without a snake bite, that means you are so pure that even the snakes don't want to bite you. You're speaking the truth. But if the snakes bite the hand, oh, that is taken to be falsity, which means the person is lying. And that's why the snakes are doing the examination by giving their verdict. So Lalita and Vishaka told Krishna. Krishna said, "How do you want me to prove my innocence?" Poor Krishna. "How do you want me to prove my innocence?" So Lalita and Vishaka said, "Ghata Sarpa Pariksha. You have to put your hand into the pot. We will have two snakes and we will bring it, and you have to put your hand into the pot of two snakes. And if the snakes let you go, that means you are not with Chandravali. But if they actually bite you, oh, then you are guilty." Krishna said, "For Srimati Radharani's sake, done. I am ready to prove my innocence." They got a pot arranged through Brindadevi with two powerful snakes inside. And Krishna was ready. And Krishna was ready to put his hand inside. You think Lalita and Vishakha would actually do this? No. They just wanted to see how much love Krishna has in his heart for Srimati Radharani and whether he's ready to go through this. But he was actually ready. So they got the spot with snake, and Krishna saw inside and he said, "Yes, I am ready." And he was almost going to put his hand inside, and Lalita and Vishaka held Krishna's hand and said, "No, we are impressed with your sincerity. This is not the Ghata Sarpa Pariksha that we wanted. There is another Ghata Sarpa Pariksha. You should come with us." Krishna said, "What is the other Ghata Sarpa Pariksha?" They got Krishna to Srimati Radharani, who was very angry. And Lalita and Vishaka said, "The Ghata Sarpa Pariksha for you is, if you are able to put your hand in the pot of Srimati Radharani's lotus face, which means hold her chin, and if the two snakes of her angry moving eyebrows can be pacified, oh, then you have passed the test of the Ghata Sarpa Pariksha." Ghata means the pot of Radharani's cheeks and her face, and the sarpa, the two poisonous snakes, are her moving eyebrows in anger. So if you can touch the pot and subdue the snakes, oh, then you have won our blessings to approach Srimati Radhika. And she is being pacified completely. And Krishna touched her chin, and Radharani was, her moving angry eyebrows were completely subdued. So because her eyebrows were like snakes, black and moving in anger, Brikuti Vilas, they are compared to snake, Agha. And because Krishna, through his innocence and his purity and sincerity, he subdued the snake of Radharani's eyebrows, therefore Krishna is called Aghadamana in in Madhuri Rasa. How beautiful. How beautiful. That same name, Akhatamana, can be tasted in so many ways. As a servant, that Lord who can destroy all my sins. As a friend, oh, that friend of mine who can help us from that cave. As the parent of Krishna, oh, that little child of Nanda and Yashoda who was ready to battle a snake to get his father out. And then in Gopi Bhav, in the Sakhi Bhav of Madhuri Rasa, is that Krishna who, to express his affection for Srimati Radhika, was ready to go through Ghata Sarpa Pariksha of putting his hand into the pot of her face and subdue the snakes, moving snakes of her eyebrows. How sweet. So just by saying Agha Damana, so many bhavs are there. This is how our acharyas, they chant the holy name. Every name of Krishna, they can drown with so many meanings. Not self-concocted, but meanings on the basis of their revelation and on the basis of scriptural conclusion. So now we will move to the next name. So in this way, every name can have so many facets of meaning, but we won't have time to go through all the eight names with so many different interpretations. So we'll just say a thing or two about all the names and then meditate on those names. And on the day of Janmashtami, pray to Krishna that may all these pastimes and these names and form reflect on the crystal of our heart. So Aghadamana, what's the next name? Yashodanandana. Yashodanandan is the next name. So why is Krishna called Yashodanandan? Oh, well, because Kashtera Puthali Jatha Nachao Se Mate Nachao Nachao Mata Nachao Se Mate. Just like Srila Prabhupada prays to Krishna that I am your puppet, wooden puppet. Kashtera Puthali Daru Yantra, I am a wooden puppet and you are my puppet here, Krishna. Prabhupada is praying. But similarly, Krishna is also saying the same thing to Maya Yashoda, that I am actually a Daru Yantravat. I am like a wooden puppet in your hand. Kashtera Puthali. And oh Maya Yashoda, you are the puppeteer. And the strings connecting the puppeteer and the puppet are the strings of maternal affection from the heart of Mother Yashoda to the heart of Krishna. Krishna is certainly conquered by no one as much as he's conquered by his Janani, Mother Yashoda. Therefore, Krishna is called Yashoda Nandan. And Mother Yashoda is called Damodar Janani, she who is the mother of Damodar. In the morning, Krishna would wake up and his tantrums and his pastimes would begin. Krishna would wake up, rubbing his eyes, yawning, showing the universe in his mouth in a casual yawn. And Mother Yashoda would tell him, can you sing something, Krishna? He's yawning and saying no and shaking his head. No, I can't sing. Mother Yashoda would say, well, I have made some sweets, but it's meant only for someone who can sing. So no problem, if you can't sing, I will give it to Balaram. Krishna immediately sits up. No, I can sing. I definitely can sing. Don't give those sweets to Balaram. I can sing. Then Mother Yashoda tells him, can you also dance? Krishna is yawning. No, dancing I can't. Mother Yashoda says, oh, what to do? The condition for the sweet is singing and dancing. So you can only sing, you can't dance. I think Balaram can do singing and dancing. Let me just take it to him. Krishna says, no, I can even dance. I can sing and dance. The baby Krishna wakes up in the morning and he's singing and dancing just to get the sweets that his Maya has prepared for him. Then Balaram also comes there. And he says, well, I heard something about sweets in the morning. Was it just the continuation of my dream or is it something going on here? So Mother Yashoda said, yes, actually, I have made sweets. But the condition is, it should go only to the person who is strongest. So between Krishna and Balaram, I don't know whom to give it to. I don't know who's stronger. So what's the way out? Balaram said, why not we just have an arm wrestling match early in the morning? And if Krishna wins, you give it to him. If I win, then you give it to me. Maya Yashoda said, Krishna, what do you think about it? Krishna said, yeah, I'm always ready for arm wrestling with my bhaiya, with my dauji, with my Balaram. Early in the morning, both sons are singing and dancing and rolling on the ground on an arm wrestling match, only to get that palmful of sweet that Mother Yashoda has prepared. How sweet. The Lord of the whole creation, just to get some sweets cooked by Mother Yashoda early in the morning. He's ready to sing, he's ready to dance on her tunes, and ready to even fight and wrestle. Look how many people came to Mathura, the fighting arena, the wrestling arena, when Kamsa and Chanur and Mushtik were being bashed black and blue. How many people came there? So that's how many people come to cheer the Supreme Lord, along with the demigods. And here Krishna is just arm wrestling Balaram in his bedroom, in his bedroom, just to get some sweets early in the morning. And Krishna is being fed by Mother Yashoda, and Mother Yashoda is also giving some ethical advice. Mother Yashoda tells Krishna, repeat after me, okay? No stealing, only eating at home. And then Krishna says, eating at home and stealing. Mother Yashoda says, no, you're not getting it right. No stealing. And Krishna says, yes, I only know to steal. No, not that. No stealing. Repeat after me. No stealing. Krishna says, what's wrong in stealing? Mother Yashoda says, it's wrong. It's unethical. You can't go into somebody's house and start stealing. Krishna said, can I steal in my own house? Mother Yashoda said, no, even that's wrong. Krishna says, I kind of know it's wrong, but I don't know what to do. I can't stop myself. All beautiful conversations between Mother Yashoda and Krishna. Very beautiful conversations. Krishna tvam patakim pathami nanure shastram kimu jnayate. Our shastras have described that Mother Yashoda is telling Krishna, Krishna tvam patha. Krishna, you should read, you should study. Kim pathami? Oh, what should I study? Mother Yashoda says, shastram. You should study scriptures. Then baby Krishna says, kimu jnayate? What does it teach? What does it talk about? Mother Yashoda says, talks about God. Krishna says, God? Oh, please tell me more about him. Mother Yashoda says, oh, he is the Lord, the controller of the three worlds. And Krishna's kind of bored with that definition. He wanted to know he's the heartbeat of Mother Yashoda or something like that. So Krishna says, what do I get gained by knowing about the Lord of the three worlds? Mother Yashoda said, virakti. You will get renunciation. Krishna says, Atha kim, what after that? Then Mother Yashoda said, if you get virakti, then you will get mukti. You will get liberation from all problems. Then Krishna said, oh, then what after that? Mother Yashoda said, then you will become happy. You will become very, very happy. Krishna said, happiness is the end, the conclusion of reading the Shastra? Mother Yashoda said, yes. Ultimate uninterrupted happiness is the conclusion of the Shastra. Krishna picks up a butter pot and says, oh, then I know where my Shastras are. This is my Shastra. Because when I eat it, I forget the whole world, and there is virakti, and there is mukti, there is forgetfulness of all problems, and there is ananda. I get so much happiness. So, Maya, this butter pot is actually not a butter pot. This is Shastra for me. And he puts his hand inside, and Mother Yashoda is thinking, how do I teach my child this lesson? So all these bhavas are there with Yashoda Nandana. Also, when Mother Yashoda takes Krishna to bathe in the Yamuna, when she goes to bathe herself, she keeps Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna. She keeps her clothes and she changes to other bathing attire clothes, because you can't just go dressed by the 10 directions into sacred water. You have to have minimum clothing. So Mother Yashoda changes to that and goes inside and keeps her clothing on the banks and makes baby Krishna sit on her clothing so that he doesn't go anywhere and no monkey takes the clothing. And she's bathing in the Yamuna. And what happens? Krishna's starting to crawl around and she's concerned, what if someone takes him? She said, Krishna, come back. And she can come out of the water now. So Krishna comes back. And now he literally comes back. He literally takes it so seriously. He starts crawling back. And now he's on the clothes. And now he's thinking what to do. Maya Yashoda said, good, sit there. He's now crawling into the water. And Mother Yashoda thinks, oh, this child, I can't manage him. I can't bathe and keep him like that. So what does she do? She goes up to the banks, lifts Krishna up, and, you know, takes three dips with him. And then she comes out. So Mother Yashoda, when she leaves Krishna, even for a bath, Krishna can't tolerate that separation. At that time, he wants to be with his Maya. He wants to be with his mother. So he will do so many different spiritual transcendental tantrums and pastimes just to be with his mother. So all of these moods are there with the word Yashoda Nandana. Then the word is Nanda Sunu. Nanda Sunu means the son of Nanda Maharaj. We all know how much Krishna loves Nanda Maharaj. When Maya Yashoda told Krishna, bring the slippers of your father, Krishna got those padukas on his head. He was not even able to carry it properly. The weight of the slippers were so much that baby Krishna was not even able to walk in a straight line. He was moving from left to right. Actually, the slippers were not that heavy. But the slippers contain the dust of the lotus feet of Nanda Maharaj, which are very grave and very heavy. Sadhu Guru, right? So weight. There's weight. Nanda Maharaj's heart has Krishna, and Krishna in his heart has the whole world. So Nanda Maharaj is a very grave person, carrying a lot of gravity and a lot of weight. And so Krishna was not able to carry the weight of his love, Nanda Maharaj's love. Shastras say that we should carry take the charanamrit of Krishna's lotus feet. But Krishna is busy taking the dust of the lotus feet of Nanda Baba. Aham tu nandam vande yasyalinde parabrahma. Raghupati Upadhyay says, my Ishtadev is not Krishna, but Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard, in whose front yard, Krishna, the Lord of the universe, he learned to crawl and take his baby steps and baby talk. How wonderful. So this is Nanda Sunu, the son of Nanda Maharaj. When Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna, it was some time after which Krishna started recognizing Nanda Maharaj. Initially, he was not even able to recognize. He would ask Maya, is he part of our family? Who is this person with the beard? And then when Maya taught him, and Krishna started recognizing Nanda Maharaj, and would look at Nanda Maharaj and say, Baba, oh my father, you can imagine Nanda Maharaj skipping his heartbeat. He would skip a beat of his heart out of affection that my son is calling me with so much affection. Nanda Maharaj used to sit in meetings with his brothers, Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, etc. And Krishna used to be on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna is looking at everyone talking, and he also looks at his father talking. And when his father is talking, the mouth is moving, so the beard is also moving. So Krishna would hold the beard of his father to see, if I hold the beard, will he stop talking and just look at me? How much affection. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has written Nanda Nandanashtakam, 8 verses glorifying the son of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj used to carry Krishna and Balaram on his shoulders and take them to Pavan Sarovar to bathe. Krishna on one shoulder, Balaram on one shoulder, and the father is walking, telling them stories and dipping them one after another in the water. Krishna and then Balaram and then Krishna and Balaram. How much affection Nanda Maharaj has for his two sons, and how much affection Krishna has for Nanda Baba. How beautiful is it? Aghadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasunu. We have finished 3 names out of 8. Now the fourth is Kamala Nayana, Krishna's eyes. Kamala means lotus, Nayana means eyes. Krishna's eyes are compared to lotus. Why? Reason number one, because the shape are that of the petals of a lotus flower. They are broad in the center and they taper towards the end. So that's like the shape of the lotus leaf. Kamala Nayana. Or Krishna is called Padma Lochana, Kamala Lochana, so many names, Rajiva Lochana. They are different names for lotus and different names for eyes, synonymous words. And then you can make so many names for Krishna. Like some names for lotus are Pankaja, Kamala, Padma, Ambuja. So many names are there for the lotus. And for eyes, Netra, Nayana, Lochana, Akshini, Lochanam, Nayanam, Netram, Ikshanam, Chakshur, Akshini. According to the Amar Kosha, these are the synonyms. So by the permutation combination of lotus, names for lotus and names for eyes, you can get so many names for Krishna. So one meaning is the shape of the eyelid is like that of the lotus. Second meaning, the lotus is always moist because it's found in the pond and there are dewdrops on it. And it's also reddish. So Krishna's eyes are like that. It's reddish out of compassion. And at the same time, it's moist out of affection for all living beings. Third reason why Krishna's eyes are compared to lotus is because the lotus is always found not in clean waters but in muddy pools in this world. So Krishna's eyes are always looking for the most fallen muddy pool-like consciousness that he can glance at and uplift because he is the deliverer of the fallen. Another meaning why Krishna's eyes are compared to lotus petals or lotus flower is because the lotus always opens in front of the sun or in front of the moon. The day lotus opens up in front of the sun. When the sun sets, it closes. And when the sun rises, it opens. And the night lotus, the Nalini or the Kumudini, the Kairava, these are names for the night lotus in Sanskrit. All of them open not with the sun, but with the moon. So they are closed all day, but they open with moonrise. So Radharani is sun and moon at the same time. Why is she sun? Because she's golden in complexion. Also, why is she sun? Because her father's name is Bhanu, Vrishabhanu, and she is Bhanu Nandini. The word Bhanu in Sanskrit also means sun. So therefore, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, the daughter of the sun of Vrindavan, will definitely be the sun rays. So she is compared to the sun. But she's also the moon because her face is so beautiful and so soothing. And Krishna's eyes are always wide open, looking at the sun-like effulgence of the moon-like face of Srimati Radharani. And therefore, his eyes are certainly lotus flowers. Also, another reason why he's Kamala Nayana, his eyes are lotus flower, because we said with sunset, the lotus closes. And with sunrise, it opens. So Krishna is like that generally. With sunrise, the lotus of his eyes open and he wakes up from sleep. And with sunset, the lotus lids, lotus petal-like eyelids, they close with sunset. But as Krishna grows up, his lotus petal-like eyes have opposite influence, or they have opposite behavior. At night time, looking at the moon like Srimati Radhika, the lotus of his eyes open and he's wide awake all night playing the flute and dancing with her. So in this way, so many wonderful interpretations can be given as to why Krishna has lotus petal like eyes, Kamala Nayana. Then the next name, the fifth name, is Gopi Chandra. Kamala Nayana, Gopi Chandra. What does Gopi Chandra mean? Krishna is the moon, Chandra. For his whole dynasty is compared to dark clouds and dark sky. And Krishna is the rising moon. He's the Chandra Vamshi. He's the full moon. Therefore, he's called Krishna Chandra. Smarani Brutani Kunje Radhika Krishna Chandra. One name for Krishna is Krishna Chandra. He's like the moon. Krishna's like the moon. He's also called Vrindavan Chandra. He's called Vraja Chandra. Right? He's always said with Chandra. Even Rama Chandra, Gaura Chandra. So similarly, Krishna's Chandra. But he's not the moon of the Vaikunthavasis. He's not the rising moon of the Dwaraka or Mathura Vasis. And not just Vrajvasis. Not just the Gopis, but specifically Gopi, Srimati Radharani. There is nobody who wins Krishna's heart like Srimati Radhika. There is a verse in Shastra talking about the position of Radharani when she is with Krishna. Radhika Sahitam Krishnam or Sahita Krishna. Radhika Sahita Krishna Tada Madana Mohanaha Anyatha Vishwa Mohopi Swayam Madana Mohita. What does that mean? It means when Krishna is with Radharani, then he is Madan Mohan. He can conquer over Cupids. He's so beautiful now standing next to Srimati Radharani that Tada Madana Mohana. As Madan Mohan, he can conquer all attraction outside. He can conquer all the Cupid arrows. But anyatha, if Radharani is not next to him, Vishwa Mohopi, he can attract the whole world, but Swayam Madana Mohita, himself, he is attacked by the Cupid arrows of loving separation from Srimati Radharani. How beautiful. When he is with Radharani, Radhika Sahita Krishnam, Krishna who is with Radharani, Tada Madana Mohana, at that time he can win over Cupids outside. Anyatha, if Radharani is not with him, Vishwa Mohopi, he can attract the whole world, but Swayam Madana Mohita, he himself is attacked by the arrows of separation of Cupid, which is Madhurya Rasa, in separation from Srimati Radharani. So this is her position. Therefore, Krishna is the moon in her life. In darkness, when you don't know where to go, how to walk, for Srimati Radharani coming out of her house in the middle of the night, wild animals in the forest, Ghora Esha. What's that verse? Very beautiful verse in the Ras Panchadhyay. Ghora Sattva Niveshita. It has been said that, I'm not able to remember. Ghora Rupa. It says that the Krishna is telling the gopis that the night is very intense, O Srimati Radhika. So please go home because there are wild animals in the forest. Well, actually the meaning is exact opposite. You don't have to go because there are no wild animals and I will protect you, like that. Rajni Esha Ghora Rupa Ghora Sattva Niveshita. That's the verse. Rajni Esha. Krishna is saying the night tonight, Rajni Esha Ghora Rupa is very fierce and intense. And Ghora Sattva Niveshita. And the forest is also filled with wild animals. But according to the way the Sanskrit Sandhi Vichhed takes place, or the breaking of the words take place, it can also be translated as Rajni Esha. This night, a Ghora Rupa is not frightening at all. Why? Aghora Sattva Niveshita, because the wild animals are not there. Only deer and peacock and sweet animals are there, so you don't have to worry. So instead of saying you go back, Krishna is saying you don't have to go back. So Bhagavatam has opposite meanings in the verses like this. So therefore, at night time, what protects Radharani from the forest, wild animals and the stones and the thorns on the road and from all her relatives and family? It is the moonbeams, soothing, rejuvenating, relaxing moonbeams of Krishna's flute playing and Krishna's bodily beauty and Krishna's sweet words and his affectionate heart. So Krishna is the moon in the life of Gopi, Srimati Radharani, Gopi Chandra. And Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavana Indra. Just like Indra is the lord of all demigods in Swarga, is Swargaraj. Similarly, Vrindavan is the Swarga and Krishna is the king. Bhaje Braja Ekamandanam Samasta Papa Kandanam Swabhakta Chitta Ranjanam Sadaiva Nandanandanam Yashodaya. How beautifully Sripad Adi Shankaracharya has written, Vidagda Gopika Mano Manojnya Talpa Shainim Namami Munja Kanane Pravriddha Vanipainim Yashodaya. That son of Yashoda, Samodaya, who gives pleasure to Yashodarani. Yatha Tatha Yada tada yatha tatha tathaiva Krishna satkatha maya sadaiva giyatam iti kripa vidiyatam. Adi Shankaracharya says that Lord who dances and sings with Srimati Radharani, he also drinks the forest fire and lifts up the Govardhan hill for his devotees. He gives pleasure to Mother Yashoda. Adi Shankaracharya says, Yada tada yatha tatha tathaiva Krishna satkatha maya sadaiva giyatam iti kripa vidiyatam. O Krishna, if you ever want to give me any blessing, give me the benediction that at all times, in all circumstances, may my tongue only glorify you and sing about you. He is the Vrindavan Indra. He is the Lord of Vrindavan. But Vrindavan Indra also means one more thing. Just like Indra, he frolics around happily in the Nandana Kanana gardens of Swarga. Similarly, Krishna, as the Indra of Vrindavan, frolics in the forests of Braj. The breeze of Braj. Vrindavane viharato ihakeli kunje matta dvipa pravara kautuka vibhramena. Rupa Goswami has written, that Krishna who walks like an intoxicated mad elephant, walking through the forests of Vrindavan, touching the soft mud with his lotus feet, breathing the aroma, the fragrance of the lotus flowers carried by this cool, slow-moving, all-purifying, cold breeze of Vrindavan, fragrant, carrying the offering of every flower, looking at all the birds, hearing their chirping, looking at all the fruits and the flowers and the leaves and the climatic condition of Vrindavan. Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Devya Chinta Mani Dhama Ratana Mandira Manohara. Krishna's heart is melting looking at Vrindavan. Tatascha Pauganda Vayashritau Vraje Babhuvatastu Pashupala Sammatau Gasharayanto Sakhivi Samambritam Vrindavanam Punya Mativa Chakratuhu. Vrindavan conquers Krishna's heart like none other. So much so that Krishna has said, Panchamam, Panchama Yojana Vistaram Dhamam Cha. Or Vistiranam Dhamam Cha Ridayam Mama. Pancha Yojana Vistiranam Dhamam Cha Ridayam Mama. This tract of Vrindavan is actually my heart, Krishna is saying. Anyone who enters Vrindavan has entered my heart. So like that, like Indra moves in the garden of Swarga, Krishna moves as the Indra moving through the forests of Vrindavan. So he is Vrindavan Indra. And at the same time, Pranata Karuna. He has lot of mercy and compassion on his devotees. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga, He Rama Mogha Vikrama. Any devotee calls out to Krishna, whether it's the forest fire pastime, whether it's the cows not being seen pastime, Brahma Vimohan Leela pastime, Aghasur pastime, any pastime, Pranata Karuna, he showers Karuna on his surrendered Brajbasi souls. Just like the child may be sometimes very busy in the bedroom doing her own thing or his own thing. But let's say if a bumblebee enters that room, the child stuffs the ear hole and runs towards the parent. That, can you help take this bumblebee out? And the parent feels nice that the child is depending on you know, him. But in the absence of that demon, or let's say the bumblebee, the child is independently doing something, the parent is doing independently something. Let's say if the snake in the room, the child will freak out and then run to the parent. So all the Brajbasis, they are like children and Krishna is their father, supreme father. And all the demons who come to Vrindavan, they are like those bumblebees or those snakes, looking at whom the children-like heart, the childlike heart of the Brajbasis depends wholeheartedly on their father, Sri Krishna, for protection. And that Krishna likes. And this is why he gives the credit to those demons. Because by their presence, the Brajbasis love for Krishna in the heart intensifies. Therefore, Pranata Karuna. Krishna gives Karuna to all his surrendered, showers Karuna and protection to all of his surrendered Brajbasi associates. And through Putana, Agasur, Bhakasur, Denukasur, Vatsasur, Arishtasur, Krishna's only boiling the pot of affection in the heart of all the Brajbasis. And in this way, the eighth name is Krishna. Krishi Bhu Vachako Shabdho Nascha Nivritti Vachaka Tayor Aikyam Para Brahma Krishna Ityabhidhiyate. Krishi Bhuvachako Shabdho. The word, the syllable Krish means the greatest controller, the Lord of everything. And Nascha Nirvritti Vachakaha. Not Nivritti, but Nirvritti Vachakaha. Krish means controller, God, Aishwaryamai aspect. And Na means Ananda Swarup, sweetness. Tayor Aikyam Para Brahma. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted this from Mahabharata in his Sandarbhas, saying Krish and Na, the Lord of greatness and the Lord of sweetness, the two aspects when they come together, Krishna iti avidhiyate. That is Krishna. So after chanting all these names, Srila Rupa Goswami says, iti aneka swarupe, O Krishna, you have so many beautiful names, which are like, you see sometimes you have these pen drives, or you can have these hard disks. They are only so small, but they can hold so much data. So Krishna's names are like that. They are like these flash drives, thumb drives, pen drives, flash drives. They look so small, but they can. The names of Krishna can hold the forms, the qualities, the pastimes, the interactions with the associates, the glories of the dham, and so much more. So in this way, all the names of Krishna have all the forms of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna included. Therefore, Taramadhyay Sarvasreshtha Naam Sankirtan Nir Aparada Naam Laile Paye Premadhan. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur quoted this and said There is Naam Kirtan, Guna Kirtan, Leela Kirtan, and Roop Kirtan. You can glorify the name, form, quality, or pastime. But when you do, let's say, the form, the quality, or pastime, you're doing just one or two glorifications in that. If you're describing a quality, you're describing the quality alone. If you're describing the form, you're describing the form alone. But when you do Naam Sankirtan, because Naam has Rupa, Guna, and Leela, it's the best form of Sankirtan. You're doing everything at the same time. So Rupa Goswami says, "Oh my Lord, with all these sweet names that I chanted, Twai mama rati uchaihi vardhatam namadheya. Namadheya means holy name. My only desire is, may my affection for you in these different forms rise and go exponentially higher and higher day by day. So on this most auspicious occasion of Janmashtami, taking shelter of Rupa Goswami's Namashtakam, we all pray that may we all go deeper in our Nam Bhajan and welcome Krishna's appearance in the courtyard of our heart through these wonderful holy names. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for... Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Can you speak a little louder, Mataji?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you for such a wonderful pastimes of Krishna Kada. Just like that we are there, such a nicely narrated Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji. Prabhu, do you have time for questions, Prabhuji, or would you like the questions in the chat? How do you like to do that?
My request would be we will skip the question answer session today because I have a few commitments today, being Janmashtami. There are a few commitments, so we can skip the Q&A for today. But I hope, wish, and pray at another opportune moment, we will be able to serve everyone and answer all the questions.
Sure, Prabhuji. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. We are very grateful for you for your time and money. And the association would like to forward your association in the future, Prabhuji. Let's pay our presents to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sandubhye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Prabhupada ki jai.
Amarendra Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Thank you, Janmashtami.